6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shai Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feed to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shai Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All of Las Vegas celebrating game number 47. As your Vegas Golden Knights took care of the Columbus Blue Jackets, 6-3. Yet one more game tomorrow against the Islanders before the All-Star break. Clayton Hamilton here, along with Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman behind the board. So much to get to today. Did you guys have fun last night?
I had a blast. Once they fell behind and then they stepped on the gas and just steamrolled them after that. Great performance, great second period, and your Vegas Golden Knights with yet another victory.
Yeah, John Tortorella gave me a little bit of snark, so it was good.
Yeah, it's always good. Oh, poor Torts. Guilty. Did not work. 6-3, your final. 68 points for the Golden Knights. And the rich just keep getting richer. We're going to be lucky enough today to be joined by Todd Gill, head coach of the Owen Sound, where our own Nick Suzuki plays. We're also going to have MJ Christensen giveaway today. We're going to hear about the player of the game, our play of the game. We're going to hear from Brad Hunt. We're going to hear from Nick Foligno. We are going to hear from John Tortorella. But let's start in Owen Sound in the province of Ontario with Todd Gill, head coach of Nick Suzuki. Welcome, Todd.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Great to talk to you. We've been fortunate enough to get to know Nick Suzuki here at our development camp in the time that he was with us in the preseason. You get to see him every day. What can you tell the fans in Vegas to expect from our own Nick Suzuki?
Well, you're going to expect a very smart, knowledgeable hockey player who understands the game and how to play it. And right now he's at the top of it and scoring goals at a very fast pace, so hopefully we can keep that going because we need that here.
One of the things that stood out to me when looking at Nick Suzuki in prospect camp and also in rookie training camp was there's a physical aspect to his game. He doesn't mind going into the corners. He doesn't mind initiating a little bit of body contact. As a smaller guy, you like to see that as part of his game. Has that developed any more this year, or is that something that you kind of try to instill in him?
Well, not really. Being an offensive goal-scoring type of player, you know, we expect him to go in and battle for his space and areas that he has to battle for to score goals. But for us to ask him to go in and dump a puck and go in and crash and bang, we don't want that out of him. We need him to conserve the energy and use it in the right time and the right place. And he's been doing that and getting rewarded for that.
We had a chance to see Nick Suzuki play a little bit here in the development camp before the season started and before he went up to Owen Sound. And I got to tell you, when they were doing the penalty shot drills where the guys kind of came on one-on-one and had a little bit of fun with it, but were also working on their skills, I can't remember a guy that I enjoyed more, whether he made it or missed it doing that. How much fun is it and how many moves does this guy have when you're watching him on a daily basis do this sort of thing?
It is fun to watch, and you know, he can beat you either by a stick handling move and or shot. He has an incredible shot, and it's just a flick of the wrist, and it's amazing how much power he can get on that shot. And if you think he's going to shoot, then that's when he dangles you and does a couple wrist rolls and puts it through his feet or something and puts it up on a backhand in the top corner. You know, he's a very talented kid with a ton of ways of scoring goals, and you know, be a goal scorer, you have to have all of them.
In looking at his game this year, what do you think he learned from coming to Vegas and being around some of the guys in development camp and also in training camp?
I think the number one thing they learn is probably more off ice than on ice, and that's, you know, the nutrition and what they have to do to get themselves in shape to have you know, an 82 regular season is a long time in the NHL, and you know, it's hard on your body, and they have to learn how to take care of their body and put into the fuel in that body to be able to do that schedule. And you know, that's just something you just don't walk in and do. It's a couple of years of transition and getting your body used to you know, the supplements and the training and the, you know, everything that you have to do to get ready for that next step.
When we saw him in the locker room and around the rink with all the rookies coming in for development camp, everyone was sort of side-eyeing everyone else trying to figure out who the alpha was. And Nick made it pretty clear that it was his locker room. When we would see him come out of a practice, it would be him at the front and like four guys walking with him but behind him. Do you see that sort of leadership on the team that he's with now?
Yeah, you do see that. And, you know, he's a very quiet leader, but he leads by example. So it doesn't surprise me. He's confident in what he can do, and he goes out and does it. And he wants to get better, and that's what you need out of these kids.
We just came from City National Arena earlier today, and we were talking to some of the players, and somebody asked Marc-Andre Fleury how he thinks his game is, and he said, well, you know, you work on it and you try to get better every single day. So even a veteran like him still says he has to work on stuff. When you watch Nick Suzuki, we talked about his offensive skills and his moves and everything, but what does he still need to work on the most as far as you're concerned to become a not only an NHL player, but the quality NHL player that we all think he can be?
Well, I'm not trying to duck your question, but every single part of his game, you know, goal scorers can even become better goal scorers. He has to learn how to play defense. You're just not going to step into the NHL as a goal scorer. You have to be able to play a two-way game, and he's capable of doing that. You know, his hockey IQ is higher than most, and he's able to play that defensive-type role when he has to, block shots. He can do it all. So I just, you know, to answer that question, every single part of his game has to improve, and he knows that. And he works hard in practice and throughout games to do that. And, you know, I'll say to him, you know, three guys here that have played in my coaching staff that play professional hockey. And we all learned as much probably our last year of pro hockey that we did our first year. And, you know, that part of the game never stops.
Now, obviously, Nick Suzuki was drafted by the Vegas Golden Knights. And you look at the team and how they're made up. It's smaller guys, a little bit faster, really relentless forecheck, really relentless in transition. So what do you see out of Nick Suzuki that makes you believe he's going to fit the mold of what this Vegas team is now and what they might be in a couple of years?
Well, the one thing Nick can do is skate. That's an asset that he has, and he is fast, and he can make plays and shoot pucks at a high speed. And, you know, a lot of people can skate fast, but they can't pass. Well, there's skating fast. A lot of people can shoot hard, but they can't shoot hard while they're skating fast. This kid can do that, and hopefully, you know, with the coaching that they have up there, can translate that into being a very good and regular player for the Golden Knights.
Todd Gill joining us, head coach of the Owen Sound, Nick Suzuki's head coach. And Todd, when you look at the sort of Canadian juniors system and the kids that come through that, there are multiple options for players now, either Canadian juniors or playing over in Europe or the American NCAA college system. What do you think the benefits are for a kid that goes through the Canadian juniors?
Well, then, you know, even though we don't play as many games as you do on the NHL, I think the number of games we play kind of gets them ready a little more. You know, again, playing 2-3 times a week, sometimes more, and practice, you know, that's a lot on these young kids, and they have to mature and learn how to take care of their bodies to be able to do that. And, you know, I think all routes are very good routes, but this route, I think it trains you from an early age on how to get prepared for the grueling schedule that you do have when you get there.
When it comes to being a quality hockey player, we see a guy like William Karlsson out here who didn't have a great career in Columbus, but everybody thought he had some talent. He comes here, he gets with a couple of linemen that he fits in with, and all of a sudden he's exploded, and he's one of the best players in the league right now as far as goal scoring and everything else. When you think of Nick Suzuki and his game, how do you match him up with, what do you look like for guys that accentuate and get the most out of his ability out there? Is there a certain kind of player and alignment that you have, or is that not always an option, especially like in the minors or something where maybe you don't have the depth of talent or something?
Well, I think a true player is able to adapt and play with anybody. whether that player is as talented as someone he's played with before that he had success. If he's a better player, then he's going to make that player better and work in ways to help his game. I think that's a true sign of a real good hockey player, somebody that can play with anybody and make not only himself better, but the player that he's playing with better.
So in a perfect world, what does Nick Suzuki have to do between now and next training camp to give himself a legitimate shot of making the Golden Knights?
Well, he has to continue to improve his craft. And again, that isn't going to happen overnight. And there's a lot of things that apply to that. It's nutrition. It's getting your rest. It's training, both on and off the ice, working on your skill. I think if he just continues that, and you know, a lot of these kids have to mature, and some mature quicker than others. But he's a very mature kid, and hopefully next year he can go in and make some decisions very hard on your coaching staff and management.
Now, we know that the success of a lot of teams in the major league and in the minor league levels is having promotional-type nights. What is the excitement level right now for the team and for Nick Suzuki himself that Nick Suzuki bobblehead night is a week from today, Wednesday, January 31st?
Well, I think he's going to be pretty excited about that. I actually got to see one the other day, and you know, the head does bobble on it.
More importantly, what do we have to do to get a Nick Suzuki bobblehead?
Well, give me your address, and I'll see if I can get one sent to you.
All right, that would be.
I'll tell you what. I'll trade you a bobblehead for some Vegas tickets.
I'll tell you what. That
we can make it happen.
We can make that happen. Yeah. We're
how about
pretty.
How about the trip down?
Do you
not too much? Am I?
How much do you really get? Do you get to follow teams at the NHL level, given the amount of work that you have to do with your own squad?
You know, you watch your teams. Obviously, I have, from my playing days, a few favorite teams that I'll keep my eyes on. But, you know, it's mainly get in, have your coffee, and go over the scoreboard in the morning.
Yeah, you know, we would love to help you with that trip down. Unfortunately, we're the radio guys. You might have to talk to the TV guys for that.
All right.
Well, it's been
I'll find two bobbleheads, I guess.
All right, yeah. We'll make that happen. I'll get in touch with Sean. Let's get this trade going. Well, we thank you for your time, Todd. We really appreciate you taking a little bit of a couple moments out of your busy schedule to talk to us. And we hope that whenever you are in town, just let us know, and we'll see what we can do. We'll get you in the arena.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That was Todd Gill, head coach of the Owen Sound, head coach of Nick Suzuki, joining us. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, the Owen Sound Attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me is a better name than a lot of names we've seen for Seattle's potential team and some other teams out there have. But that's for another day.
But
I do like that name, Owen Sound Attack.
Owen Sound Attack. How cool is it, though, if you have your first-round draft pick and you've got your own bobblehead? Like,
I think it'd be pretty cool. I think if he can get a bobblehead in junior and a bobblehead in the pros in the NHL, that'd be even cooler. Like, the evolution of Nick Suzuki bobbleheads is something that I think a lot of collectors might be into, especially people in Vegas. Maybe Chum Lee will collect himself a few bobbleheads because, you know, the bit that he did yesterday really didn't fall flat at all.
You know that Chumley is one name. His first name isn't Chum, and his last name isn't Lee. It's not Chum.
Yeah, no, I know.
Lee.
I know.
It's Chumley.
Chumley. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Did I enunciate in a poor way?
You called him Chum Lee, like Bruce Lee.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
The bigger question is, do either of you know where Chum Lee comes from?
Does it matter?
I think Frank might have a good guess.
Well, I know he comes from Pawn Stars, but
the name Chum Lee.
Oh, Chum Lee. Oh, yeah. Tennessee Tuxedo.
Ah, Frank hits you out of the park.
Chumley the Walrus. Yeah.
It's still two syllables. So
Chumley, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you were to have a bobblehead Nick Suzuki, I don't think he has to worry about the beard and having real hair like Joe Thornton did. And Joe Thornton had his bobblehead with the real live beard hair. But bad news for San Jose Sharks forward Joe Thornton. He's expected to miss several weeks because of an injury to his MCL sustained last night.
Yeah, it's not good news.
Bad news. Bad news for San Jose.
If they had a Joe Thornton bobblehead right now, would they have to rip some of the hair out of the beard?
Well, maybe you could do that on your own. It'd be like detachable. It'd be like, you know, like when you cut Barbie's hair and it grows back.
I did not know that was an option with Barbie.
Yeah, I think
not
I think
up
it used
on my
to be.
Barbie
yeah, I'm not
trivia.
Up on, yeah, so I remember that commercial from years ago. And hey, guess what? You'll never believe this.
What?
Tampa Bay Lightning got another All-Star.
Well, they had to replace one.
Had to replace Victor Hedman. They replaced him with another Tampa Bay Lightning player, this time forward Braden Point.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So forward taking a defenseman's spot.
Yeah, interesting. It's 3-on-3. Who cares? I mean, Brent Burns is at the All-Star game, so really, we shouldn't be complaining about which player they chose to replace.
Yeah, well, but now you did want to see Tampa Bay with the possibility of having three players out there at once, so maybe this is a good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you don't want Mikhail Sergachev out there because he's awful. So, no, it's good. Good for Tampa getting their guys.
Yeah, Sergachev, he sat out while Jonathan Drouin had 3 points. That happens from time to time.
Drouin pacing himself for those 50 goals in the Stanley Cup.
He's a strong push when the schedule gets compact. Well, as you know, when the Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too. Always listen to us here at Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 1340 AM after every Golden Knights win for your chance to win a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. Give us a call, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. And we are going to break with tradition. We're going to do something that never happens because you know who I always feel bad for? Always feel bad for caller number one. Caller number one never gets to win. But today, caller number one, you get the $50 gift card. Stick with us. When we come back, we're going to hear from all the players, go through our player of the game, our night to shine, everything about last night's game right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Knights hockey in the Valley.
Up the wall, dishes right for Englund. He shoots, tipped, on goal, save, score! Carlson the rebound. Vegas takes a 1-0 lead. That's the second shorthanded look that Carlson has had today. Now Miller scores! From the right circle, faceoff, one clean out to Miller, a center point shot. Colin Miller ties it 2-2. Neal finds it again on the right wing boards. Up top, Theodore ahead, feeds left, lots of room, Hunt fires, score! It's the first for Hunt. Vegas takes the lead, 3-2. It's a power play goal. Theodore chips it out. Vegas comes ahead with speed up the right wing. Halla into the zone with Neal cutting. Feed to the middle. Score! Halla to Neal. Vegas leads 4-2. Lead pass. Carlson is in. He fakes. He scores! Backhander! Carlson! 5-2 Vegas. His second of the game. 27 goals, William Carlson. Oh, my. Vegas power play in 1 minute. Perron got it ahead towards the open net. It's in. That's an empty net goal for Vegas. They lead it 6-3.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Six-pack of goals, guys, to get by Columbus last night.
Just a great second period. Once they got down 2-1, it was like waking up the sleeping giant. They completely put on the afterburners. Just a great game, just everything clicking for them. Marc-Andre Fleury played well, although he gave up 3 goals. If you didn't see the game, you need to watch it, because actually I thought Bobrovsky played very well. It could have been a lot worse than 6-0. Of course, the empty netter's not in him, but it was an exciting, fun hockey game. And once again, another team comes in here and says, we've heard about what goes on in Vegas, but they leave here shaking their head like, wow, we didn't really know what went on in Vegas.
And we saw the 2 goals, Ryan, from William Carlson, but he could have put up a 5 spot.
Yeah, I mean, for sure he could add 4. The 2 breakaways that he missed. It was interesting that the second one wasn't a penalty shot, but the momentum changer in the game for sure.
William Carlson, great night for him, and he was part of our play of the game. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guarantee. Your play of the game, Shea Theodore to William Carlson.
To center ice. Foligno to backhand it in. Fleury sets it for Hunt. Theodore with a high lob pass to Carlson. Hits him in stride to the net. A backhand and he scores! What a pass by Shea Theodore to William Carlson to make it 5-2.
And William Carlson with a great goal, but the great pass made by Shea Theodore. And it's a shame that it happened so late because it missed the early SportsCenter top 10. But it did make it this morning.
Yeah, that's a play that's going to be on there for a while. And it was like hitting a candy store for me today. I went up to Shea off the record and just asked him a couple of questions about that pass. Great hockey IQ. Fantastic. Just amazing play.
Well, and again, if you've watched it but you haven't really watched it, watch it again a time or two because the pass was incredible. And I'm still going back and forth in my mind which was more impressive. The beautiful pass by Theodore, just lobbing it up there like a quarterback letting air under the ball for his receiver to run under it. But then the way that Carlson almost caught it on his stick, completely controlled it, and then still had the deft move and everything to get it by one of the best goalies in the NHL. It's like Carlson had two incredible things on the play, but Theodore's pass was like a two-point pass. I mean, it was just incredible. As they say in hockey, it was truly a beauty on both ends. And if not for it being the fifth goal, I don't think anybody would have questioned that it's a play of the game. And I still don't know how you do, even though it was the fifth goal of the game. It was spectacular.
Yeah, it was fantastic, too, because the hockey IQ on Shea Theodore is fantastic. When you ask him about it, he says it's the only play to make there. And you might get a little confused by that because there's a lot of other plays that you could make. There are a lot safer plays that you can make. But the only way you're going to get the puck to William Carlson when he's streaking and he's got two guys flanked on either side is to throw it up over. And you could draw it up 10 times out of 10, and it's never going to lay flat like that. It was just a perfect set of circumstances. And William Carlson with a great finish. It was fantastic.
And like you said on the post-game show last night, Frank, it was like a soccer player who you see get the ball out of the air and make the one touch on their foot before getting it into the shooting motion. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we know that William Carlson is a big soccer fan. I mean, when I saw that, I had images of Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi going down there and just catching it on his foot and then going by and just making the goalie look like a beer leaguer or something like that. And Bobrovsky is anything but that, but he looked like it on that play. I think even Bobrovsky was maybe a little bit mesmerized, like, wait, where did that pass come from and how does this guy still have it, and oh damn, I'm supposed to stop this. And I mean, he was just completely lost. It would have been criminal if he didn't bury that one, because then we wouldn't have a chance to talk about it. But just an incredible play on both ends.
Head coach John Tortorella of the Columbus Blue Jackets, never at a loss for words, addressed William Carlson's goals and success in the post game press conference.
I'm surprised by William Carlson, just the year he's having.
I don't like him scoring two goals against us tonight. I'm thrilled for him though. As an ex-coach and caring about Bill, I'm thrilled for him. He did some really good things for us. I wish he scored a few more goals for us. But you can see him, and watching him tonight, you can see he is just full of confidence. He's got some good people he's playing with, so I'm happy for him. I certainly don't hold. I wish he didn't bang in a couple tonight, but I hope he has a great year. They're Western Conference. We have to worry about the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, you still got to play him one more time, too, so there's that. John Tortorella was in a very subdued mood, but I did ask him a couple of questions, and he did bite back a couple of times, which was fine. But the only really major issue that I have with what he just said is in that he wished he would have scored more goals with Columbus. With what opportunity would William Carlson have had any chance to score more goals than what he scored playing on the fourth line, getting 7.5 minutes a night in mostly a checking role with guys that are not elite goal scorers? When was he going to have a chance to score more goals? See, to me, that's ridiculous.
And let's be honest about it. Down here in Vegas, we're just all hoping that he scores a lot more goals against them, just like he did last night.
Yeah, no, and the best part is when he says, I'm not going to hold... I wish he didn't score any. Like, what are you going to say? You're not going to hold a grudge against a guy that you gave up on?
Right.
Like, that's stupid.
Well,
okay.
The funny thing is when you look at William Carlson and what he does, you just wonder, how did he ever end up in a fourth line checking role? Because you look at what he does versus somebody maybe like Will Carrier or Pierre-Edouard Belmar or Oscar Lindberg or guys we've seen on the fourth line, and they seem to be very different players.
I don't know. I don't really see Carlson as too much different from those guys. Those guys are very north-south players. They're very – I don't think that Belmare has the speed that Carlson does, but I think their 200-foot game is about equal. It's about the same. There's a reason why William Carlson gets minutes on the penalty kill, as well as Pierre-Edouard Belmare. So the responsibility defensively is there, and when you've got a guy that's really fast and very committed to playing defense and who wants to play in the NHL behind a lot of higher-end, quote, higher-end talent that they had in Columbus last year, I think it's easy to see how he can get buried on the third or fourth line, especially if he's not playing with guys who have hockey IQs like Jonathan Marchessault, like Riley Smith, which is what he's the benefactor of. And let's not discount the fact that his shooting percentage is very, very high for this season. And that's a product of not just him, but his line mates getting him the puck in the right situation. So it's a combination of all of these different factors working in to create something that's bigger than themselves.
Yeah, and sometimes you can fit in on a role where it might not be the best place for you, but if that's the only place that was available to him, like we just had Todd Gill on from Owen Sound talking about Nick Suzuki, and he said he thinks that regardless of who your line mates are or what situation you're in, you make the most of it basically, and you play hockey and you learn to play the entire game. I'm sure Carlson wasn't exactly happy in that role, but he was probably happy to be in the NHL. But now that he gets an opportunity to play with better offensive guys around him in a much more proficient role for scoring, he has certainly taken that, kind of making a statement out there saying, okay, I showed you that I could do that other role, but this is where I really belong, and this is where I want to be the rest of my career, and right now, who can argue with that?
Yeah, and I'm going to just boil it down to one other thing, and this is not me being a jerk to John Tortorella. Gerard Gallant's a better hockey coach, period. Like, you can understand it, you can see it, you can believe it, because the Columbus Blue Jackets quit last night. They quit skating, they quit competing, they quit going in for 50-50 puck battles. Gerard Gallant's team never did. They didn't have the greatest first period. They didn't have a good start really to the second period. But once they got their legs under them, they didn't quit. They did not quit working hard. And to me, when you have a team that's buying in every single game for 60 minutes, and if it's not coming, they just keep going and keep going and keep going and pressing. You don't need talent to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
When you have really good coaching.
I mean, William Carlson seems like he's one of those guys that doesn't necessarily thrive under yelling, jerky guy. I mean, there are those people that thrive and get off on that, and that's how they succeed. But William Carlson and a number of the players that are on this Golden Knights team just doesn't seem like that fits their personality.
No, and the word that Tortorella used was confidence. Well, how could he not be confident? His coach believes in him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the end of the story right there. I don't know that William Carlson is William Carlson if Gerard Gallant doesn't trust in his ability to play a 200-foot game and doesn't put him in the role of playing a top six forward minutes. I think we get the same William Carlson that we got last year in Columbus, maybe a little bit more offensive, but Gerard Gallant noticed something, put him in the right spot to succeed, and that's why he's doing the things he's doing this year.
And, you know, although I think that Smith and Marchessault will still be the incredible players that they are, their game might suffer a little bit, too, if he wasn't the third piece on it. They still have good numbers, but I don't know that they would be as good. I mean, every one of those guys is like plus 20 or plus 20-something, for crying out loud. They have absolutely been stellar. You could argue that they're as good as any front line out there. And the whole season we've been saying, well, the Vegas Golden Knights win because they have three and four. Their third and fourth lines are better. Their first and second lines have now gelled into lines that are competitive with just about everybody else out there as well, if not with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting insane production from that line. It's ridiculous.
There was production all up and down the line last night, including Brad Hunt, who had a three-point game, including his first goal of the season. He earned our Player of the Game honors. Player of the Game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, Brad Hunt.
Theodore to walk it. Feeds it to Hunt. Open. Left side. A drive and he scores! Brad Hunt on the power play! His first with the Golden Knights makes it 3-2, Vegas!
And Brad Hunt with the big shot, and we had wanted him to shoot more. He did last night, breaks through his first goal of the season.
Yeah, and I don't know if the smile was bigger on his face or all of his teammates' face. And that's one thing that I love about this team. They really root for everybody else to succeed. And he got that monkey off his back. He gets the goal. And then he goes out and says, I'm going to have a Colin Miller type of night, and I'm going to get 3 points on the evening.
All right, 3 points for Miller.
Which now doesn't even get him one of the stars of the game.
Right, and now 3 points for Brad Hunt. And Frank, you had the opportunity to talk with Brad Hunt after practice today.
It felt amazing. I mean, to score, especially to score at home and get a big win, it was a real special thing.
Now, obviously, along with the goal, you also had a couple assists, so a three-point night. When was the last time that happened for you?
That was the first for me in the NHL. It's happened a couple times in the AHL, but again, it's the guys I'm playing with getting the puck to the right guys, and they're doing the work.
Now, you've got a really good shot when you tee it up. Has it just been puck luck? Has it been something where you just haven't maybe had the opening, or some shots are getting blocked? Or I know sometimes you guys run into hot goalies, or how can you explain that it hasn't happened yet? Because it sure seemed like it was going to happen a lot sooner for you.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where this takes time, I suppose. At the start of the year, I wasn't getting as many pucks to the net, but now I've really been starting to shoot a little bit more. And when you get pucks in the net, good things happen. And whether it be another guy tipping it in or like going in on its own, it's just one of those things, getting pucks in the net and get things happen.
Well, and of course, certainly as a defenseman, it's not necessarily that you're looking for score goals all the time, but on the defensive end, you're doing a great job here. What's it like playing with the other guys that you're playing with and playing in front of guys like Marc-Andre Fleury and Malcolm Subban?
They've been great all year. I mean, Flower and Subi have been fantastic. I mean, they're great goalies and they're great teammates. And then playing with Millsy, too, he's a great player and he's a lot of fun to play with, and he makes it easy on me.
Last night's game against Columbus, you guys had the lead early, then you went down 2-1, and all of a sudden it was like almost a wake-up call, and you guys just exploded. What's it like on this team? The resiliency is something that, quite frankly, I haven't seen in the NHL maybe ever before.
I think it's just that no one quits. You know, it doesn't matter what the score is, whether we're up 5-1, we're down 5-1, we want to try and play the same style and play the same system, and we just want to play our game, and I think that's a big part of it. We don't get too high, we don't get too low. We just kind of stay an even keel throughout the whole game, and we put our heads down and go to work.
Islanders coming up on Thursday, then the All-Star break. What do you make of the Islanders? They have a pretty potent offense, and do you have plans for the All-Star break coming up?
Yeah, the Islanders are obviously having a great season. They got a great young team, and it's just one of those things. We know we played there at the Barclays Center, and they kind of took it to us a bit, so it's fun to have them back here at our rink and get another crack at them.
After the All-Star break, you guys have a really condensed schedule. It's almost like a checkerboard. You play almost every other day. Do you like playing that frequently, or do you like a little bit of break here and there? Because you had the bye week, then you got the All-Star break, and then after that, it's crunch time.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's one of those things. It's all part of the game, and we're all professionals in here. Everyone takes care of their bodies and gets the rest when the rest is needed and show up to the games and be prepared to play.
All right, thanks a lot, Brad. And I forgot. You never even got to answer. What are you doing for the All-Star break?
I'm just hanging around here in Vegas. My wife and I are going to do some stuff around town here, go to Red Rock Canyon and all the little stuff that we haven't got to do yet.
All right. What have you had a chance to do here in Vegas so far?
We like doing little hikes out in Red Rock and the different trails they have and stuff, and bringing the dog, and maybe do a couple shows and stuff.
Right, well, yeah. Hopefully you're enjoying Vegas as much as Vegas is enjoying having you around.
Oh, I love it here. It's awesome.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Brad Hunt. Looking forward to a few days at the All-Star break, but more business to attend to tomorrow. Looking forward to getting a second crack at the Islanders, but this time in our barn.
Yeah, and he mentioned the fact that, the first time that they played them, it didn't go exactly like they wanted it to and everything, so they are looking forward to this game here, and nice to know that what we seem to hear from every single player we talk to, they love it here. They all love it here. Nobody wants to go. Yeah, there might not be room for Tavares.
There might not.
God. You know who doesn't love it here? Nick Foligno doesn't love it here.
Well, I think Nick Foligno, he might like it here. He might respect it here. Maybe not got the outcome that he was hoping for.
I think he admires Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He wishes that, Columbus, Ohio might be a little bit like Vegas, but I don't know that he enjoyed his time here, to say the least.
Right. And Ryan, you caught up with Nick Foligno after last night's game and had a few questions for him.
With Vegas, is it just their speed or is it their execution?
I think both. I mean, they're confident right now. They're almost, it's a compliment when I say they're arrogant. You know, the way they play, they throw pucks without even looking, and they just know guys are there. So, credit to them for the way they play, but they do it the right way. They play hard, they play fast, but they play heavy. And when I say that, I mean heavy on pucks. I don't mean running around hitting people. I just mean when you're in a battle against them, they're usually coming out with it. And that says a lot about their mindset, and that's a good lesson for a lot of guys in here.
I think that's a fair amount of respect for this team from Nick Foligno, wishing that his team maybe had put in the effort that the Golden Knights did.
That word heavy gets thrown a lot in hockey, and sometimes it has a misconception of you're going out and you're hitting everybody that moves. And I like that he took the time to clarify what he meant by heavy. Heavy on your stick, heavy on the puck. 50-50 puck battles, they're not 50-50 with the Golden Knights. It's like 75-25. The Golden Knights come out of those on the right end most of the time.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time that these guys have a chip on their shoulder and this, that, and the other. And I know a lot of people out there think, oh, that's just hockey talk or it's sports talk and it's a cliche or something. They really do. And there is a hunger that you don't necessarily see, especially over the course of the 82-game season on a night-to-night basis from other teams. There's a couple games, and we notice them when they happen, when the team is a little bit flatter because you still can't get up for all 82 games. But pretty much almost every night, you're going to see 100% effort from everybody out there on the ice. And I don't know the last time I've seen that in a professional sport over the regular season like I've seen it here. I'm sure I have when I was younger or something like that, and maybe guys were playing for contracts every year or this, that, or the other. But there's something about this team where that chip on their shoulder, it's not just a cliche, it's a reality.
What I liked about Nick Foligno is he's giving credit to the team and for what they were able to do to take Columbus out of their game. He didn't fall back on the old Vegas flu that we've heard so much about ad nauseum. And Jason Prothier from Sinbin asked Nick Foligno about that Vegas flu.
Just because it's a topic, I mean, is playing in Las Vegas a distraction for an opponent?
No, that's all sorry. I think it's such a bad thing to say. I think it's just easy for you guys to write about or want people want to talk about, but we were fully prepared for this game. We were here 3 days before, and so as far as I'm concerned, I think that's just, you're excited. I think I was excited to play here. I mean, it's a new arena, new team. The atmosphere is great, so I think if anything, it should help your game, not hurt.
So he says the Vegas flu is bull nonsense. It was all about the atmosphere. It was all about the team. A very good night for Nick Foligno, besides the result and the effort of his team, but I think he walked away with a healthy amount of respect for this town and this team.
Yeah, the greatest thing about that, Jason Pothier and I, we were walking down to the opposition locker room together, and we were trying to frame our questions in the best possible way to get the responses we wanted. And when I say that, I mean we didn't want Nick Foligno to punch us in the face, and we really didn't want John Tortorella to just scream at us. So there was quite a bit of how are we going to do this? How are we going to try to sprinkle these things in? And to be completely honest with you, I liked how Jason asked the question, is playing in Las Vegas a distraction? Didn't say Vegas flu, didn't say any of the other garbage that we've heard in the media, and mostly national media. It's not really a prevalent thing here. And if it is here, we're trying to explain why it's not because of going out. It's not because of getting drunk. It's not because of all those other things. It might just be a slight change to the routine. It might just be you're getting asked questions about it because that's what's ending up happening. But what I loved about Nick Foligno's response is how immediate his dismissal was of it. It was no, it has nothing to do with the fact that there are any outside distractions. This team was just better than us. I love that. He was a fantastic interview. Fantastic.
And, you know, I was never a gigantic Nick Foligno fan before. I mean, I'd never had anything against him. I just wasn't a big fan either. I have more respect for him. I think I like him more now because of the way that he answered that and because he was straightforward about it and he didn't skirt the question. And by the way, when he says it's just something for us to write about in the media and everything like that, it's not just that. Toronto stayed off the strip because they had heard about it. Other teams, this is in some of the people's head and everything like that. But I like where he took culpability and said, no. Anybody who's using that, it is BS. It's not reality. It's nothing else. Basically saying if you're letting that bother you, then you're weak and maybe you're in the wrong type of business or something. He put it on the team, the T-Mobile, the fan base and everything else, and the other people not being there to perform. I have massive respect for Foligno. I thought that was a great interview, the entire thing.
Yeah, it really was, and it gave us insight into how he was feeling. And I know Frank and I certainly appreciate all that you do, Ryan, going into the visiting locker room, because it can't be easy at times because usually they've just got their tail kicked, and you have to go in there and try and figure out a way to massage an answer out of it, and we certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks. Like, what is it, 19 times out of 23 that the team's just gotten completely skated out of the building, and we've gone in there, and I've got stories to tell. That's all I can say.
Let's be honest, though. You'd rather be in the loser's locker room than the winner's.
I love it. I love every single minute of it. And to be honest with you, I get my Vegas time after practices. Mm-hmm. Chris Chapman and I just had a fantastic little interview, little talk with Bill Carlson. So, you know, I can't complain. It's fantastic in those visiting locker rooms, especially after a loss.
Look for Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace's memoirs from a frozen sheet to come out sometime soon, we would hope, with all of your stories of what goes on at practice. But it's been fun, and I said we appreciate all that you do in the visitors' locker room. And hopefully you will have more stories to tell us come Islanders game tomorrow night. And we've got tickets to that. If you would like to go, give us a call at 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. And let us celebrate William Karlsson and his 27th goal with caller number 27. You're going to go see the Islanders. When we come back, we're going to take a look across the pond at a kid trying to make it in the NHL. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. We're going to have one more game before the start of the All-Star break. That happening tomorrow night. We'll have the pregame show at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, intermission report, and the postgame show as well. Frank Harnish and I will be out there. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace in the visitors' locker room. Chris Chapman in the Golden Knights locker room. So another fun day. And Frank, you got a story about a kid over in jolly old England trying to make it in the NHL.
Well, you know, we like to look at some of the youngsters, and we talked about Nathan Walker, the first person ever born in Australia to make it to the NHL. He has had some games up there this year. Well, there's a young man by the name of Liam Kirk, whose name is not going to appear on the NHL Central Scouting Bureau's list. As a matter of fact, it's not even going to go out on the limited viewing list, because reality is no NHL team has ever seen this kid play live, because he's from Great Britain and he plays in Great Britain. Now, there have been 82 players from Great Britain that have made it to the NHL, but none of them were born there and continued to train there as well. Kirk has played his entire career there, and he is trying to make it to the NHL. And apparently, people have saw some film of him and seen some other things. Other leagues in the Czech Republic and other places are now inviting him to come and play for them. They think he's the real deal, and he might be and is trying to become the first ever person born in Great Britain who played the bulk of his junior career and everything in Great Britain to make it to the NHL.
All that says to me is that NHL scouts need to go to Great Britain. Maybe they're getting a little lazy.
Yeah, you would think that would be a pretty easy trip. I mean, they're all over in Europe anyway, right?
Yeah. Now, they're
following those a flight from Sweden.
There have been a couple that have been close to making it to the NHL. The closest is a gentleman by the name of Tony Hand, who was born in Scotland, drafted by the Oilers, who never quite made it up to the Oilers, but played a lot of years in the AHL. And Liam Stewart, if that name sounds familiar, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but you probably know his father. He also almost made it to the NHL. He is the son of Rod Stewart, who decided not to play soccer, his father's passion, but almost made it to the NHL as a hockey player. He also played in the AHL.
That name does sound familiar, because there was a video not too long ago of Rod Stewart just losing his mind when his son scored a goal. So I do remember that, but it was not at the NHL level.
Yeah. Stewart played for the Spokane Chiefs of the Western League and 13 games in the ECHL as well.
Yeah.
There you have it. No, I used to remember, I know Chapman is a big NHL EA Sports guy, and they used to always have the Team Great Britain on the international list, and it would all be fake players because there weren't any. And their best player was Dominic Brains.
I much prefer the Nintendo Entertainment System version of ice hockey, where you had four players, and they had Czechoslovakia and USSR. You had to pick the fat guy, the skinny guy, or the middle guy.
Yes, I remember that game. That was good. So maybe this kid will get his name in NHL 19 or NHL 20, NHL 21.
Did you eat Czech cookies while you were playing the Czech
yes,
team?
Yes,
no,
yes.
No, he only does that in the press box.
Yeah. Okay. Good old Chapman.
That's what I thought. I thought maybe it started before that.
He knows all the ins and outs. I mean, he was full of tacos yesterday, too.
Hey, oh, geez, yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, Lucas Pisa, big Taco Bell guy.
Yeah, how packed was your plate, buddy? Come on, boy. Now.
No comment.
Yeah, this guy who loves food, T.C. Martin. The doctor, he's next.
Don't most hockey players come from north of the border, though, not south?